Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Well, hello!
Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko, yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rot.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Shh. I'm trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra podcast for DongBuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by mini-host Delaney.
Greetings.
Philip.
Hi.
Lem.
Hey.
And co-host Mel.
Hey.
This is a mini-cast where we discuss a single Avatar Korra topic for a brief period of time. And today we'll be discussing the Avatar world and the logistics behind it. And Lem or Delaney, do you have a better description?
No.
Well, I just provided similarities, how they're like the planets and like how the worlds operate, like in a very similar manner. That was my contribution.
Okay, so it's mainly Lem. Okay.
It is mainly me.
Okay then.
Was that subtle or?
I mean, it was Lim's idea. He just came to me for help. I mean,
a lot of this outline seems to be predicated on Avatar World being a version of our world.
Yes.
Yeah, which is an interesting theory. So we'll talk about that. But basically, when I mean the Avatar world, we mean literally the world that Avatar takes place in. What are the processes in it? How did it originate? Et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, let's get into this. Lem, start us off with how the world is compared to us, I guess.
Well, I mean, there are two main options here, mm-hmm. and one is that they are literally us, and that is that they are either us in the past or future, or maybe a parallel world. I guess there are three options.
It's getting existential already.
Yeah.
And I should say we hit on some of these things in the Animal Hybrids minicast, and so we'll be expanding upon them now.
You stole from me.
I did not steal. You are not able.
Nope. Calm it
no,
down.
No.
Fight.
I think it was.
Be waiting for this for like 5 years now. Final fight.
I'm gonna take the high road here. Okay.
Live, folks, on pay per view.
There's three options. It could be if it's our world, it could be a past or future version of our world, one and two, or it could be a parallel world. And the thing I talked about in the Animal Hybrid podcast, a lot of it was predicated on the Avatar world being a parallel world, either a parallel. I guess it could be like a parallel Earth, but I kind of just think it's just like another planet. I mean, it's a lot of similarities to our planet, but there's a lot of things we don't know if they're the same.
It's hard to say that it's just another planet when it's so similar to Earth, and we don't know of any other planets that are just like Earth.
Yeah.
The people look just like Earth. There's so much that is just like Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, the planet functions in... Go ahead, Philip.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say...
Chivalrous.
Thank you. I was just going to say that, like, and we were going to get into this, is that the planet, the Avatar world, it functions very much like our Earth, and there's actually indicators that they're made of the same thing. Like, they're... And I'll get into that later, but...
I would be very, very hesitant to say that it's some version of literally our planet. It's possible that it's maybe a parallel dimension Earth, but I just don't see how it fits into our Earth's timeline.
I would totally say parallel Earth.
Physically, it's as far as we know, it is much smaller than our Earth.
This is true.
Well, we don't know that though. I mean, because all we know is that the section where this takes place, the Four Nations, there might be more than that.
unless flying bison are really fast, then we know that the Earth is smaller.
Oh, okay. Maybe they're just way bigger than us. Maybe they're really tall.
Also, have we ever seen a globe? That's my. Have we
maybe
ever seen a globe?
Maybe it's Pluto-sized, in which case it wouldn't be a planet.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go ahead and throw
Pluto is a planet. I don't even care.
I went there.
This is the disc world theory. The world is a disc on the back of four elephants who are standing on the back of the world total.
But we saw it was a globe.
It was
but
a globe.
That's what I was asking. That's what I asked.
They showed it
as a globe.
When?
In the season finale. Process of Destiny, when Aang was hanging up on his little purple cosmic energy and he fell back down to Earth, it was a globe.
Okay.
Also, let us not forget in the Sozin's Comet finale, when the comet was coming into the atmosphere, you could definitely tell it was a globe.
I would be hesitant to draw conclusions from the season finale, because it's more symbolic, I would say.
Well, also, in Crossroads of Destiny, even if we're looking at it from space, that's only half the planet we can see.
Ah.
Just so to play devil's advocate.
It's only half of a globe, then.
I mean, one thing I guess...
For all we know, the planet could just stop, like, right there.
Could counter the globe theory is that... Well, no, one thing that I guess could prove the globe theory is that they have poles.
Yep.
You can't have poles unless you're around... Well, as close
also,
to around
as you're... Also, tides. That has to do with the moon, but if our planet wasn't... I mean, we're not perfectly spherical, but that also contributes to tides, and we know the Avatar world has tides, and they also have a moon, and it functions just as our moon does.
So, we also know that the Avatar world has a spirit that does all that shenanigans.
Well, the moon doesn't do it by itself, it also works with the spirit of the
Avatar. Science also exists in the Avatar world as well, so that also could be, it does. I mean, they have technological advance, so they just might not have gotten that far along in knowledge. And of course, I do understand the Avatar world is different. They have spirits for things, but I mean, the moon, I mean, that is scientific. That's what happens. Moons cause tides.
As for the poles, we don't know if they're actually poles or they're just called poles. Yeah.
Have we seen magnetism? We haven't, have we?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we have in Legend of Korra. Does that count?
No, like pole magnetism.
Oh, yeah, right. those big necks did not have magnetism.
They actually did have magnets, yeah.
Well, also,
those are electromagnets.
Yeah, they're
just
not,
for
the not
pole
the same
discussion,
thing.
It seems like it'd be strange if those were the poles, because they would the maps would be very strange if they extended on both sides of the poles.
What?
Okay, no, because if each city is located at or around the pole, there's a lot more land there than just that city, though. So there's land on, like, quote-unquote, the far side or the other side of the pole from that city. So the poles would... You could see both poles on the map.
I'm not seeing the problem.
No, I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm just saying that's an oddity of...
Well, that's just map. Because it's different from our map.
Yeah, so I think that would at least somewhat contribute to the fact that there's nothing else, because it seems like that would be, like, noted on their maps if it went over. Because if you actually look at the top of one of our maps, like, you can see a lot of stuff. Like, if you look at a globe or something from the top down, it's actually really surprisingly close together.
Yes.
Okay, let's... We kind of abruptly ended. Let's get on to whereabouts.
Yeah, I was just thinking about yeah. So where exactly does this take place if this is us? Is this like Pangaea if it's in the past?
We know it's the northern hemisphere because it's snowy in winter and warm in summer.
Well, I mean, that can be said, but then what about the warm parts and stuff?
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah.
Did that make
No, that didn't
I did not articulate myself very well. Okay.
It's warm in the warm parts.
Yeah, it's warm in the warm parts. How can it be cold in the North Pole?
What?
All right, let me try again.
All right, I think what you're looking for is there isn't climate variation, or it's not up to your liking. Climate variation throughout.
There aren't,
like,
actual seasons.
There is cold parts in north and south, and then the middle is just kind of one glob of the same season.
That's what I'm trying to say.
There
so
you go.
The planet doesn't have, it doesn't tilt, is what we're getting at, I guess.
It doesn't have an axis. Well, it has an axis, it is not tilted. Yeah.
What is there a sun spirit?
Maybe.
There's evidence by the variation in their dress.
But they have solstices, though, so, well, that has to do more with the orbit around the sun, I guess.
I think that there's evidence that it's colder. Solstices? It's warm in the very middle, and it's colder at the northern and southern parts of the Earth Kingdom.
I don't know. It's sounding a lot like a globe.
Well, that works without a tilt to the axis. That's just because around the middle, the equator. Yeah, that thing.
Well, no, that's actually not true, because if there's no tilt, the equator would do nothing, because everyone on the equator is tilted forward, like it's closer. Wait, no, that's not. Okay, no, you're right. Sorry, I got confused. Everywhere around the equator, it's always hot, because everywhere on the equator is always the closest to the sun. Like, always.
So, yeah.
That doesn't change.
I'm trying to think
if we have any evidence of seasonal variation.
We don't. Because we just travel around a lot. We've heard mentions of seasonal variation.
We don't have evidence of seasonal variation.
We don't have evidence against it. We just don't have evidence for it.
They talk about seasons, but we just don't see any.
Well, we don't see the temperature changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Each nation happens at a different season in Atla. So
don't stop calling it that. It's not Atla, that's not what it's called. No. Okay.
It is
creatures.
The creatures. humans. Sorry, I'm just trying.
Let's first start with humans. We don't know if their species is human.
Well, if they are us, they're probably us. If this is our planet, then I think it's a safe bet that they are an earlier form of humans.
Yeah. For simplicity's sake, I think it'd be best to call them human.
Okay.
Or we can just say humanoid and just
and be chill.
It seems like they're humans with an additional layer of unlocked potential.
Well, they're kind of inherently not humans, like Philip was talking about. Like the ability to bend and having a chi and stuff like that makes them not human. Like that's just something we can't do.
Maybe a past version of us. Our ancestors could do that in this thing. That's my point.
They are for all appearances human, they just have additional abilities. So
just like superheroes, I mean, they're still, because we call them metahuman. So let's call them metahuman.
So actually, this inherently makes us able to answer the first question.
Well, metahumans are specially listed as non-human.
But superheroes look human, don't they? Most of them, like Black Canary and them.
I was about to make a good point.
Sorry,
the first, the fact that these people have this innate ability that we don't have probably means that Avatar does not take place in the past, because we know our history as a species, and we know that we never had that.
We think we do. Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
I mean, I'm a firm believer of the parallel world. I don't think this is supposed to be past or present or future Earth.
The only way it could be a future Earth is this could be some sort of genetic mutation that's
nuclear fallout.
Apocalyptic too.
There we go.
Yeah. Also, it would have to be thousands of years for that much continental shifting and rearranging to happen.
Yeah. More than that. Yeah.
Millions.
Okay, millions of years. When I say thousands, I mean extremely long span.
Yeah. It would have to. Yeah. In order for the Avatar world to look as it does on the map, plus humans to have this ability. Well, the humans could.
There would have to have been some kind of asteroid impact to knock the Earth back onto a no tilt. Relationship.
Well, that we're not sure about, but the human's mutation could be thousands, but the Earth itself shifting, that's millions of years. So now we're talking millions of years into the future.
And that could be in the future. We have no idea we don't really have a very
future.
In a million. Did I say something funny that time?
What?
That sounded
no. Kind. I said anyway. It's in the future. Duh.
Oh wow. Okay.
That's why we inherently don't know what happens, because it's the future. Just please continue.
Well, if someone can predict the future,
Dylan, did you put in that parallel world stuff?
What do you mean? I didn't put that in the outline, no.
Okay, I must be smarter than I thought. Because I don't remember doing that.
Okay. So now I'm about to say something else. If this is literally our future, it doesn't make sense for this now. I kind of just discounted the past because of we know our history. It can't be the future because, like I said, in order for the Earth to shift that much, it would have to be millions of years in the future, and humans are not going to last that long on the planet.
And it also can't be future because of we see no... There are no differences in people. They are. They all look the same except for skin tone.
A mutation that allowed us to control the elements, we would have changed a little bit appearance wise.
I mean, based on population isolation, there is no it goes off from human evolution. It makes no sense.
I've come up with a brilliant theory that is kind of crackpot, but explains stuff. Okay. So basically, big asteroid hits Earth, knocks it back onto vertical, no tilt to the axis. This is an apocalyptic situation. Humans, this is in the future, obviously, because it hasn't happened. And so humans go underground and hide out underground. There, they develop their technology, and they end up with with the ability to modify human genetic information and then add these abilities to themselves, basically. The energy bending would be the most logical, because it's just an extra level of control over the flow of energy through your body. You have an additional level of control of your signal pathways and your nervous system, etc. And from there, it's spiritual stuff.
I have another theory, and that is that they are all about 100 feet tall or 200 feet tall, and that is how they're able to get around the world so fast.
No.
All right.
That's my reaction. Yeah,
no. Going back, do you guys get what I mean by the genetic differences?
You mean that they wouldn't look the same, right?
And based on population isolation, because that's why we have people look different and there are different races, is because of population isolation.
The only way we would look the same is if
that's why we have that 1%, 0.1% difference.
If like a new species developed after the humans were wiped off the Earth that looked the same, by chance, that looked the same as us?
I talked about in the animal hybrids is that if they just don't follow human evolution, that would make sense isolation doesn't work. But
now if we're saying if they don't follow human evolution, now we're definitely saying parallel world.
Well, that's what I said. They don't follow I said that. That's what I was talking about, is that they don't follow human evolution, because otherwise we would have definite differences that we could see in people of the Fire Nation and the Air Nation, just like when Zuko in The Promise, he's like, Corey, he didn't know, because you can't tell. There's no possible way to tell. And, because the only thing we know is based on Earth, is that we have, there are different people. There are no different people in the Avatar. The only
way to tell nations apart is clothing.
Yeah, well, not even really that. It's just culture. Culture is the only signifier of any sort of difference in the Avatar world.
I mean, Aang went to the Fire Nation and easily passed his Fire Nation, and Sokka and Katara easily passed his Fire Nation.
Well, he didn't. He passed as a colonial.
Yeah.
I think that was more of a speech pattern than a visual thing.
But even then, I mean, they just wouldn't have gotten caught unless they except for the Wang Fire story, they could have gotten caught there because it's just terrible
Wang
story.
Fire.
But
this is my wife, Sapphire Fire.
Oh, it just doesn't follow human. Doesn't follow human evolution.
This is not the best way to discount the future world. Like, this is a very specific thing, but you're right, and all of this together. And based also on the fact that humans will not last that long. So we have now eliminated the fact that this is our planet. So now we've solved the first question. This is definitely a parallel world. So let's continue. Animals.
Whoa. What about future? Okay. Animals.
So it can't be the future. We just spent 5 minutes on that.
That's why I was talking about genetics. We can't have it.
Animals. They have a very... Oh, you did hybrids anyway. Oh, okay. Well, I guess...
Wait, can I say something about the animal hybrids real quick, though?
Yes.
Sure.
My thing with the animal hybrids, and this is probably just because, I mean, this probably isn't an in-universe thing. This is probably a behind-the-scenes thing. Well, no, not even that. Okay, so we have the bear, right? And they're like, oh my god, what is a bear? Like, they're flipped out about it.
Platypus bear! They're naming different bears.
However, and then they go into platypus bear, this bear, that bear. That suggests that at one point there were things that were not platypus bear and were simply bear and platypus.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We went over this.
If you had let me keep my topic, I would have known.
Well, we did do it. So.
Well, I would just like to say that thing with the animals still fits into my mid-podcast realization of it could be future with genetic modification potential.
Except we don't see that technology, so I just killed your theory, but...
And see, the thing is, there is another event that makes them come out of their hiding place underground or whatever, and they lose their technology in the process and have to rediscover it.
Where does the avatar come into all this?
I don't know if I want to know.
Yeah.
They genetically...
They open a portal to another dimension, and they find the spirits there.
He actually is the doctor.
And so the spirits cleanse them of all their unclean technology and give them the avatar to watch over them.
The spirits are really the ancestors who developed all that technology, and they're monitoring humans.
So now this is Prometheus, basically.
Oh, you spoiled it.
Assassin's Creed.
I haven't seen that movie yet, Dylan.
That wasn't spoilers. There's no spoilers in that.
That is in the trailer for Prometheus.
There's no plot, so there's no spoilers to that movie.
Yeah, really, seriously.
Okay.
Okay. We touched
on this. Back to the outline.
We touched on this a lot, but what happened then? A cataclysm? An apocalypse? What kind of thing happened? If this is a past version of us, which we pretty much
it's not a past
100% discounted past us. Let's just accept parallel universe.
Yeah, let's pretend that this is a past version of us. What happened? What happened to us?
I think Philip covered that.
Yeah.
We died. And that's
that was the future. I covered the future, not the past.
Looking forward to that one, too.
Well, it's the same thing in reverse, except we're the future and they're the past, so we still it's still been covered.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Alright, so if this is a parallel universe, let's go all Doctor Who here and in terms of the alternate dimensions type thing, and that when you...
turn left!
Yeah, exactly. So this alternate Earth has to be in a different plane in which the planet has developed similarly, but a different species came about, which is very similar to humans, but has this one specific difference. And also, there are these beings that are powerful.
Gamma ray sun. There we go.
I mean, it's so different that I almost would argue that it's not a parallel world in terms of Doctor Who, just because it is so otherworldly.
Well, the planet itself is so much. It's smaller, and it was necessarily is going.
And the planet is Asia, so.
Well, no.
The planet Avatar World is on is the planet itself is identical to Earth.
Explain.
Kind of.
Okay, no, I have several examples.
Okay.
We see volcanoes and
magma. I see what you're saying.
Oh yes,
okay.
I see.
Magma and okay, you can say there's volcanoes in other planets. Yes, I'm aware. However, with the magma, we see that they most likely. The planet Avatar World is on has most likely a molten core like our Earth.
Yep, that's true.
So it's not made of gases.
Yep.
Okay, and so then, it's not Jupiter. It's not a failed sun.
I thought Avatar took place on Jupiter. Is that what you're telling
me? That's what the storm was. The episode of the storm, it was that big old storm making his rotation. Does it have a name?
It's the eye.
It's the eye. It's like the size of like four Earths.
It's like the red storm.
It could eat us if it wanted to.
I don't think we know enough about this planet or the Avatar world to say that it is identical. We can see
they also have an atmosphere that the people need to breathe because Zuko almost suffocated.
Yeah, okay, so they got the atmosphere, they have the molten core. It's a similarly structured planet. We know that.
That's what I was talking about. It's like, so we know. And they have a sun, and they have a moon, and it functions just like our solar system
does. It's not that different, though. Like,
they don't seem to be doing the Pangaea thing, though, because with plate tectonics.
No, we don't know that, though. That happens so slowly.
Also, the Earth Kingdom is, like, it's Europe and India. Like, that's really, you can see those shapes almost clearly in there.
Is it India?
Just in shape, you mean.
Question about plate tectonics, though, is... did they ever mention earthquakes in Avatar?
Yeah, they did.
Then there is evidence of plate tectonics then.
But it was only mentioned as a wrestler's name, I think.
Well, still,
Lem, you're kind of. Why did you say that as an afterthought? Like?
So that could be a bit different, though. Making the earthquake, that's a bit different.
Yeah, earthquake could develop from different. It doesn't need to be the same process.
Spoilers: Earthbenders are the original plate tectonic movie.
Oh crack!
Okay.
Robert, like, Wagner just died. Like, he's rolling over in his grave.
In his grave.
This is what happened.
He's rolling over in his grave. because he's in the earth, right?
Yes, Lem.
And it's quaking.
Earth.
Anyway, so really, like, we know it's possible for an earth-like planet with a molten core and an atmosphere, and has a sun and a moon.
And solstices, because it clearly orbits the sun.
We're told it has seasons, so
I don't know if it necessarily orbits.
If it has solstices, it has to orbit the sun.
Yeah, but that's just the name, though. Like, I'm trying to think of
evidence. Maybe theirs is a geocentric. Never know, maybe.
It's possible.
I can't even accept that. Like, I just refuse.
Wouldn't that be crazy if we found a geocentric solar system?
It wouldn't exist.
I don't think that's possible.
Humongous.
I mean, it'd have to be a very small star and a massive planet. Like, even something like Jupiter wouldn't work as
Jupiter tried to get a star and it failed. It's
what? Like, what'd you say?
Jupiter are tried we to be sure star? That the Avatar world isn't Jupiter? Like, are we sure?
Yo, because
you're pretty sure. Because there's actually a walkable surface, so I'm going to go ahead and say yes on that one.
Jupiter is a ball of gas that failed at being a star, so it just sits in the solar system and thinks about what it did.
So if I throw Mac from space at Jupiter, we'll get another star. Wait, I want a binary star system. Let's get some matches on the Jupiter.
We tried to get a binary star system and it didn't work. So we can't have nice things because Jupiter sucks.
What is with the hatred for Jupiter? What did Jupiter do to you?
Jupiter made sure we couldn't have a binary star system. That's like the coolest thing ever.
I did not imagine
that. Jupiter's so huge, it made them think
Tatooine and have the double sunset.
Exactly. Wait, no, we don't want to be Tatooine, though. I don't want everyone to have to be moisture farmers.
What does Luke
do?
No, Doctor Who, the planet.
What planet?
I think it has
the Timeloid planet.
I think it has, like, three suns.
Gallifrey, yeah. Gallifrey has some weird sun system, too. Anyway, Lem, outline, different planet, let's go. We got so off topic, okay.
Well, the truth is, if it is a different planet, it's very similar to us. We've pretty much talked about all of this somehow. Seasons, sun, and moon, solstices. Is it a near-identical solar system? What's going on with the solar system?
We don't know any planets.
We have no idea if there's other planets.
Yeah.
We see stars, though. We know there are stars.
We know there are comets. We know there is a sun. We know there is a moon.
Yeah, but we know there's a spirit for the moon. So it comes to, like, the spirits in extraterrestrial stuff.
But there's still...
Is there a spirit of the asteroid? I don't think so.
Ozai.
Sozin is sitting in the spirit world, chuckling. Like, yeah.
Right. Just chuckling. That's all he's doing.
Well, I mean, like, physically, though, yeah, we know there is at least one planet, there is one sun, and one moon. Could be more planets, don't know.
And we know there are other bodies in what we would call space, because they end up hitting and passing the planet.
Every 100 years.
Wasn't that one thing? No, that meteor, that one thing. I said asteroid.
Well, there was a meteor shower as a result of the comet. Which doesn't make sense, but that's fine.
Sokka's Master, yeah.
Master, yeah.
Yeah, they had that meteor shower.
I don't know if it's a result of the comet.
I kept saying asteroid, I meant meteorite.
That would be awesome.
I think they mentioned in there that it was like a prelude to the comet or something like that.
I don't
remember. Maybe plot-wise. Maybe.
Which I don't know how that's possible.
I mean, they don't know that. They're just the characters on the show don't know that.
I don't think it's possible to have a meteor shower as the result of a comet.
Yeah, that's just them, like, speculating, right? Like,
cause firebenders, like, yeah.
But not as a prelude.
Are you saying that Avatar couldn't happen in real life, Delaney?
No! No!
Delaney, how could you?
No, I'm just saying a comet couldn't make firebenders more powerful, because there's no thing in fire in a comet except when it hurts.
Wait, come on, a ball of ice flying through the sky totally makes sense to make firebenders better.
If it has heat coming off it, does it? I don't even know if it would have heat.
It heats up the atmosphere.
Yeah, there you go.
But it didn't actually hit, so it's not, like, super hot. Like, it doesn't make any sense scientifically.
It's just roasted.
Isn't there a big comet that's supposed to come next year or this year?
The only comet I can think of is Halley's Comet, but I don't know.
I've heard something on the news about it. It's going to, like, stay in the sky for months or something. It looks really cool.
That's dangerous.
That's dangerous.
Yep. Who knows what ideas the target is?
Check your firebending powers, guys.
We talked about this already, but the world being smaller or larger than the Earth. It seems like smaller, but we don't know.
Smaller and more dense, like I said.
They could just have more water than us. I mean, we don't know for a fact. They just happen to have less land.
But the fact that Appa flies so quickly, like...
North to south travel seems to go much more quickly.
It definitely does.
Let's see, how long would it take an airplane to go from one side of the Earth to the other?
2 days?
Non-stop.
No, not more than 2 days.
Non-stop.
How fast is an airplane going? Like 300 miles an hour?
I don't even know.
More than that.
If it's an airplane,
like,
from one side
depends,
of the
FDF. Do you mean like a commercial airliner or like a military?
Well, like a commercial airliner.
We assume that APA is not an airplane. Like,
if he was going anywhere near the speed of an airplane, they'd go flying off.
Yeah.
Or maybe APA goes so fast, just looks like he's going slow.
Maybe Aang's continually airbending
around the planet, and the frames just catch him as he's looping back around a little bit further.
He operates, obviously.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, come on, Mel. Where's his wand? Use your brain.
His staff.
That's the problem with that.
You don't need a wand to operate?
He has a wand embedded in his horn.
No!
Actually, you have to have your wand to operate. That is true. You do have to have your wand on you to
Why
map.
Do you have to have your wand? I've
That's a fact. You have to. Oh, you just have to. I don't know.
Where does it say that?
It's stated. You have to have your wand to operate.
Why? They call it Harry Potter, the Half-Blood Prince, but I don't know.
Find it. No.
Will.
No, don't do it now. We're still out of topic.
You should need it.
Elements and materials different to ours.
I don't know anything about that, so I'm just going to delegate that to you.
Oh, wait, I learned. Where's my notebook? Oh, my God. I learned about all the elements that are most found in the universe.
Like iron?
No, like actual elements, but my notebook's like...
Iron is an element, but okay.
I thought you said fire.
I said iron.
I heard fire. I'm like, no, I mean actual
elements. I said iron. I'm so hurt, Mel. Like,
fire is actually the most common.
I'm looking at my notebook, but I know some of them are like silicon, iron.
It's all made of stardust. It's the first ones, like in the universe. Yeah, but
everything at some point was made of helium.
This is all irrelevant because we don't have evidence of knowing what materials are on.
This is why I want Jeff on this thing.
Well, no, we can...
no reason to assume that they even have a periodic table.
They clearly... Well, okay, maybe not true, because fire can burn, but... Well, okay.
They have oxygen.
That's what I was about to say, oxygen with fire. That's what I was talking about.
We don't know if their fire works like our fire.
When people can magically do stuff like that, you have no reason to assume it's...
One of the laws of physics is that the physics that work on our planet must also be true everywhere in the universe.
They also have hydrogen. They have to have hydrogen and water to have water. There has to be hydrogen and oxygen to have water.
Their water could be a different substance. They don't follow.
No, it's water.
It could be
different. They call it water and it's blue. It's water.
No, but it could be something else.
Just because they call it water doesn't mean it's
actually. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's actually H2O.
If I hand you a glass and it's
your water isn't water,
say it's water. It doesn't.
Have you ever thought about that?
Getting into dark stuff. Getting into dark territory here.
Have you ever thought about the fact that our water maybe isn't water and their water is the real water and we're just calling it water?
Exactly.
Maybe their water is hydrofluoric acid.
They're really evolved to handle that stuff.
Yeah. It's been a rough life.
Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the spirit world. This is interesting.
Thug life chose them.
Lem, go over some of the options on the spirit world.
All right, the spirit world. Now, it could be a different dimension, which I personally think is the most likeliest option. Or it could be another nearby planet. And yeah.
Yeah, portals, which.
Wormholes.
That's what I was trying to think of.
So I'm trying to think of the most likely logical explanation to the spirit world, and the first thing that comes to my head is that Aang has a really big hallucination or delusion.
Yeah, they're all on acid.
Yeah,
the entire Avatar world is someone
shared
acid.
The argument against the planet is because he doesn't physically go anywhere.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense for it to be another planet.
It's a plane of existence, so
it's an acid trip. It's another plane of the... You know, the world.
In order to have this make sense, it has to be there another dimension. They've developed technology that can transport them through dimensions, or it has to be a delusion of Aang.
It's a shared hallucination because Iroh went. Shared hallucination.
We don't know that Iroh went to the same spirit world though.
Iroh could have also.
We have never seen them conversing about it whatsoever.
Iroh could have had the same delusion.
No,
Iroh could have had a completely different delusion. His could have been full of I don't even know.
Yeah,
Luten. Luten. It would be full of Luten.
Yeah.
Did I break your heart?
No, you didn't.
No.
Well, I was close.
Wait, no, it can't be a shared delusion because the delusion killed a couple people.
Look, it's obviously cactus juice. So
yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Everyone in the entire world is tripping on cactus juice. That's how the world exists.
That's the Avatar world equivalent of LSD. Like honestly. It is.
If it's a different dimension, either they have something ingrained in their genetics that can have a certain person transport dimensions, or it has to be advanced technology. And
there's nothing I can think of.
Have any of you guys read Sword of Truth? Please, one of you say yes.
Nope.
No.
Darn
no.
it, because... I have a good point, but I can't make it because none of you have read it.
Don't spoil it.
If we're accepting that these people have the ability to manipulate the elements in their genetics, why can't they have something that can make one of them transport dimensions? Like, it's possible.
I'm saying with that logic, it could be another nearby planet. All they have to do is put their mind on a different planet.
And the ability to instantaneously transport are two different things. Telekinesis. Yeah, telekinesis.
Yes. That is a possibility.
Shut up, Lum.
You know, I saw the first time someone said that to me today.
Not surprised.
Okay. This is, like, quickly declining.
No, we're actually having really good discussion. It's just really, like, badly presented.
Quickly declining implies that it started at a high point.
We're going into negatives, essentially. We started at zero, and we're just going from there.
Okay, if it's another nearby planet, all I'm saying is that their mind could go into a different plane of existence.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah,
you're arguing about sense and the discussions we're having about all of this.
I'm trying to keep some logic in this.
There is no logic.
Someone just suggested that the spirit was the shared delusion of cactus
juice. That's possible.
I was joking. I was trying to break the tension.
No, that was definitely a serious suggestion. If you say it, just gonna stick with it.
Oh my god, they have a TARDIS cookie jar on Amazon.
Look at my profile. Look at my profile picture.
Okay,
that's TARDIS cookie jar. Look at it.
Effects of bending and spirits on the planet. Let him talk about this. Hello.
Yeah, sorry.
Cold shoulder again?
Yeah.
Yeah, just got so angry. Negative impacts. Oh my goodness, what's going on with my brain? Could someone else do this one?
The firebenders are burning up with all of their firebendingness. They're burning up a lot of valuable resources and like oxygen and stuff. And just all the various combustibles.
And also
the Industrial Revolution in their age, and so they're making a lot of pollution.
Oh, so
that's not bending or spirits.
What
though,
we're saying is
like
that global
out.
Warming should be occurring on the.
Well, the negative impacts outline thing says atmosphere affected by firebenders. Pollution falls into there, Delaney.
Well, what's the outline really mean? Somewhat.
That's what I'm trying to, because I was talking about more physical, really? Actual bending, because Industrial Revolution is not bending, because you have to be a firebender to do that.
We can widen the topic here. All I'm saying is that bending and spirits on the planet would have negative and positive impacts. That's the point of the outline.
Okay.
Like, the forming of the world, like, remember in, basically in the Great Divide, we heard that, instead of just having canyons formed by erosion and natural stuff like on our world, we had Earth spirits that actually formed it, or so the legend goes. And for all we know, that could be true, because since we take spirits as fact, any thoughts on that one?
Well, we kind of got into that in the religion.
Yeah,
that they actually exist, and we see
I didn't hear that one. Okay, well, there we go then. And also, there's the other byproduct that there would be no natural disasters on this planet. Like, there would be no drought since, you know, the waterbenders can control it.
We've seen, like, forest fires and stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, technically, the firebenders could stop that in, like, a second.
Well, didn't the firebenders start the forest fires? Because that's a bit different than natural forest fires and, like, lightning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, natural forest fires.
Like, landslides and stuff. Well, I mean, I'm sure they happen, but they can stop them or sense them.
Like, we had the tunnel cave in, but that's hardly a natural disaster.
And that was done by the firebenders. Right?
What?
I don't know. Let's move on.
No, there's nothing to move on to.
Yeah, this is it.
Delaney, ready?
What?
Yeah, that's the last thing. After the outline, it says...
Okay, in conclusion, I would say...
That's the weirdest thing.
What just happened?
The Avatar world is a parallel world to Earth, probably, where a human-like species has developed the ability to bend, and also... A few amount of people can go to a different dimension, which is the spirit world.
Yes.
And these spirit world beings are able to teleport to Earth and have a great degree of effect.
And humans may or may not be giants.
They're definitely not.
Definitely not, yeah.
Well, let's just put a pin in it for now. We'll see how it turns out.
You don't put a pin in it, just stick a sword through it and let it die.
let it hang until it turns out that was canon and I was right.
Okay, the only thing I think that we have established here for sure is that the Avatar world is a parallel universe.
Yes.
Or a future version of us.
No, it's parallel.
My theory explains everything that requires explaining. You still haven't disproved me, everyone.
Okay, but...
I have, actually, just by common sense.
Well, the reason it's not a parallel universe is because in order for the Earth to have formed into that shape, it would take millions of years, and humans would not be on the planet in millions of years. In addition, we would all not look the same.
It's a parallel universe that starts several million years ago.
No, it's a parallel universe that's set in China.
It's can not we just even...
Can you knock that what? Off?
Not even, like, oh my goodness. Okay,
what?
Okay. So we didn't really establish... The spirit world is hard to explain logically.
Basically, we didn't do anything.
You should all listen... You know, it's too late for you to realize this now because it's the end of the podcast. So, you know, we wasted half an hour of your time.
I mean, if we bring in religion, then we can start to explain the spirit world, but I don't know.
We already kind of did that.
Yeah, that was an entire podcast.
Yeah, I guess.
Or mini-cast.
We didn't really do that, though, in trying to explain the thing.
Yeah. Well, we do know, like, okay, we know the Avatar world is very similar, like, on, like, a basic, like, construct level of our planet, and it's a parallel world. That's what we've established.
Can I just say that Mike and Brian never thought of any of this? Like, this yes, never of course. Crossed their
minds. Is that the point of having podcasts?
Yes, to
make up stuff based on information that was never...
The longer they make us wait. The worse this is going to get.
The dumber topics we're going to get into.
Consider this our official warning message to Mike and Brian. If you don't put out the new series soon.
We're going to analyze your stuff even deeper.
Yeah.
And it will make less and less. Then we'll start getting more theories like the Avatar people are giants. And
I think we're about 2 months away from shipping Mike and Brian in a podcast.
I'm pretty sure we've done that before, but that's okay.
So I'd be like a mini cast just on.
They're already called Bright. I mean, it's halfway there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay. I've been your main host, Dylan. Mini hosts have been Delaney, Lem, Philip, and co-host Mel. I produce edit the podcast. Dong Feng is owned by Jake. Any last thoughts?
So many.
Okay. But... No, say one of them
now. No.
Say all of them.
Yeah.
Better left unsaid.
Okay. Then.
Please do.
I think you should all give me your last thoughts, and I'm going to put them on... Oh, wait, no, that's not this podcast. I can't make that reference. Never mind.
Did you get your Tumblr URL?
Oh, yeah. I was working on that, like, the second I said that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Okay. What do you guys want to end on?
Giants.
No.
No.
That's a long no.
Mel, ultimate VR vote. Like, that was amazing.
You should just cut it off as soon as she said no.
Let's end on...
I'm very skilled in the verbal slapdown.
Just do it. It'll be the funniest ending of all time.
Immediately yeah, there is no countdown ending. It just ends with Mel going,
no.
That will have to be the last minicast, too.
No, why is Allie still awake? She said she was going to bed.
I don't know, but I'm going to make her get on call if she's still there when...
Yeah, that's true. See, these things make no sense to listeners, but anyway.
she's like, it was like 9 o'clock. She's like, I'm going to bed soon.
No, Dylan,
it's now 11.
Yeah, it is. Like, it doesn't make... Whatever. I don't even know what we're ending on.
No, we should just have ended it right there.
What could we end on?
We're ending on parallel worlds, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Yay.
1, 2, 3, parallel world.
Parallel world.
Parallel world.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and the Legend of Korra podcast for DongGuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by mini-host Derek. Hey. Philip.
Hi.
Lem.
Hi.
And co-host Mel.
Hi.
And today this is a mini-cast where we discuss a single Avatar topic for a brief period of time, blah, blah, blah. And today we'll be discussing comparisons between Avatar and Doctor Who Part 2. And I know you guys totally wanted another one of this, because I heard zero feedback on the first one.
I wanted another one, okay?
Yeah.
I just didn't need the feedback, because I thought it was implied.
Lem wasn't on the first one, and he was really mad at that.
I didn't even know there was a first one.
Yeah, now Mel is watching right now, so she gets to be on this too, so that's awesome. Okay, let's start things off by, when did you start watching Doctor Who, where are you now, and do you love it or not? Philip.
I started watching Doctor Who several years ago, I want to say, let's go with 4, that's a nice number. I'm all the way caught up, and it's easily one of my favorite shows. I'm quite looking forward to the season starting up again soon.
Derek?
I started, when was this? Sometime mid to early last year, and I watched like the first season and a half, stopped for a bit, and then I picked it up again when I got bored, and I've been caught up since then.
Okay. Lem?
I started watching it about, I don't know, 2008, maybe? And it's probably my second favorite show.
Second favorite to Avatar?
No.
That's not the correct answer, so...
No, it is Avatar.
Okay, good. Mel?
Bazinga.
Like, last week?
Wait, what are you up to?
No! Not last week. Literally, like, probably, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
It was like 2 weeks ago. I don't know if it was even 2 weeks, though.
It wasn't. I breezed through it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're all up to date.
I'm not completely up to date. I'm on Matt Smith. So
whereabouts? Like,
there might already be spoilers in the outline.
I mean, I know already because Tumblr likes to do that thing where it just throws shows that I don't watch on my timeline or on my dashboard, and then when I go to watch them, I know the spoilers. So
I guess this is a good time to say we're not gonna try to. This is a message for you, the mini host too. We're not going to try to spoil anything specific. But general spoilers, I guess, for Doctor Who. You should, I don't know. Yeah, well, let's try not to spoil Mel.
So let's try not to do the equivalent of Dumbledore dies.
Yes.
Oh, what? Dumbledore.
Are you serious
That's
right
the
now?
Best yeah. spoiler ever.
Anyway, I watched this a few months ago, and I'm caught up on current Who, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yeah, I should say that. I haven't watched any classic Who, really. Oh, just the current reboot.
And the Christmas special was awesome. Who. Just saying.
Was what?
Awesome.
It was a throwback to old Doctor Who, The Great Intelligence.
Yeah, I don't know if I didn't like that aspect.
I thought it was interesting.
We're going to talk about this now? Seriously?
Okay, we're not going to talk about this now. Let's talk about comparisons to Avatar, because it's an Avatar podcast.
Sure, man, who outlined this thing?
I know, Lem did that.
No. Serious?
So, Lem, you're like the least gracious trying to get your credit. That was
Yeah, I'm going to do it for the next one, too. So
okay, I will remember for that.
Try to beat me to the punch.
Yeah, so Lem outlined this. Thank you, Lem. We're going to try not to repeat ourselves. Actually, let's start with something Mel brought up. Comparisons between Katang and Rose and Ten.
It hurts.
Is that what?
They both are painful.
That's the tagline.
What specific comparisons?
I was talking to Allie about this last night.
Were you spoiling Allie on Doctor Who?
She knows. She knows
everything.
She's
not going to watch ever. Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is in a cohesive way. I mean, there's obviously a huge comparison between the Doctor and the Avatar that we get into later with regeneration and, like, you know, the new avatars and that sort of thing, but it's like obviously because the show, the new season from 2005, it's not a new show, so it's not like when an Avatar, Katara cracked him out of the iceberg and it's new, but this is the first companion for the Doctor after the Time War, so it's comparative in that way, is that she's our, like Katara was, she's our point of view character, she's the person through who at least the first season, like, the lens through which we see this character, if you know what I mean. I mean, it more lends itself to the fact that that the Doctor is comparable to the Avatar, and also with specifically 9 in the episode Dalek, when he's about to, you know, just blow this last Dalek up, and she's like, no, you can't do that. It was, to me, reminiscent of Katara talking Aang down from the Avatar state a little bit, kind of talking him down from his rage and anger and pain and suffering and all that nonsense.
All that nonsense.
And plus it's canon, so...
It is canon. That's kind of.
Also, thing I just thought of is that Katara and Rose both watched their respective people die.
No,
You're right.
Yeah, cool. She did. And then they...
I don't mean old age dying, I mean, like, Katara or Azula, like lightning stab back, whatever.
Oh, they're
and they both and she watches them both kind of come back to revitalize.
They semi revitalize.
I think this is probably not clear, but you by people you mean the Doctor and
the Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's an interesting... Yeah, so Aang dies and comes back to life, and the Doctor regens 9 and 10, yeah. That's, yeah, it's interesting. And Mel's point on Rose and Katara both being, like, an audience surrogate type of character is very true. I think they're both comparable in kind of personality and demeanor, Rose and Katara. And we went on part one in last minicast on how very similar the type of character Aang and the Doctor are. So yeah, I don't think Cat Aang hurts nearly as much as no.
They do both happen in the end though. Just
kind of. They don't really happen at the end.
It depends on how you look at it.
It's true.
The Doctor's human self.
Okay, like, but we said avoid specific spoilers.
Like, that wasn't.
This is
specific.
Like middle of the reboot. That's not spoilers anymore.
I mean,
that's
it's
like,
weird.
That's
that
like 4 years
like,
ago.
It's canon from Rose's perspective, but not so much from the Doctor's perspective. If you know what I mean.
Someone write a fanfic of clone Aang being with Katara instead of.
How did you get a clone?
Aang Wait, someone has written one, or
no,
someone should write one?
I'm telling someone to write
it. Commissioning it.
Yes, I'm commissioning some listener. Slash
some poor way soul. Biological
How many of those actually ever get written?
I've been very tempted to write several of the ones Dylan has asked the audience to write. I just
Can
forgot
you write this one
before I got to it.
Stupendous.
Yeah, it would be pretty amazing. Aang somehow gets a clone through...
No, this one doesn't appeal to me. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
birthday gift. A clone of myself for you.
Oh, we got a Dr. Manhattan thing going on here. You people need to read Watchmen.
Oh, I thought you were wondering,
totally different.
I have watched Watchmen.
Yep.
I didn't know if you were referring to like Doctor Who in Manhattan or
no, no, Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah. Anyway, let's start getting into some of Lem's specifics on the outline. Take us through the outline, Lem.
All right. So first of all, they are both travel shows.
Yeah, we hit on this one a little bit.
All right. Fantastic. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, Lev, did you change your Skype picture just for this podcast?
No.
He's had that for the last couple.
No, don't. Lem gets off topic enough on his own.
Don't reference things the viewers can't see.
I haven't seen
it. This is true. Also, continue, Lem.
Sorry, let me find my bearings here.
The first bit shows center around a major war and genocide.
Yeah, both shows center around a major war genocide, so there we go. I don't know how to make that more clear.
well, I mean,
basically
the
beginning.
It's a prevailing theme throughout Doctor Who. Like, in Avatar, it shows up there, and it kind of is just hanging there, and it's not really touched upon again until Ozai's like, let me burn everything to the ground. But in Doctor Who, there's like multiple genocides, I think, that are brought up throughout.
Well, the difference is that Avatar is called Avatar the Last Airbender, and Doctor Who isn't called Doctor Who the Time War.
That's also just one thing, is we get to see the Doctor before he was the last of his kind. We get to see him when there's, you know, his whole culture is around, but then... Yeah. Off-screen slash in a very terrible Fox movie, depending on how you want to think about it. Time War happens. And so that would be the equivalent of Aang's, the start of the Fire War, where Aang's, all the Airbenders are wiped out except for Aang. And so we don't get the opportunity to see Aang like that. And also there's the ongoing conflict in the show as well, because we have the Aang versus the Fire Lord conflict, and we have the Doctor versus the Daleks, which is, you know, obviously a main conflict in the show, because those are the people who, killed his entire race, basically.
So you're saying it's not called Doctor Who the Last Time
Lord? Last Time Lord.
Yeah.
If you were searching for that title, you would get no results.
Let me just go register that Tumblr.
you should actually. Yeah.
Someone should make that their URL.
Anyway, okay.
I'm seriously working on that right now.
Okay, I have several comments to make. Let me think of them. I think that genocide of the people, of the main characters' people, prevails in their emotional blah 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 whatever throughout the entire series in both of them. Because the Doctor, it's a main thing. Like when Martha comes along, he has to bring up this to Martha, and it's kind of a big deal. Her learning about it, and Aang, it prevails several times. We see. It's not necessarily that much, but like he gets it's a theme, I guess. And yeah, that point about the Fire Lord, the Firebenders equal Daleks is true. It's they are the villain that genocided the the main character's genocided.
They genocided them.
I think it's a verb. And no, I think it's
genocided. I don't think
genocided is a stretch.
And it continues into the the only time it's not comparable in terms of we get to see the Time Lords is if you look at Classic Who. But if you ignore Classic Who, the comparison is very accurate.
It's very much too, I think, genocide cycles, like in terms of the Air Nomads getting wiped out. And then the genocide reappears at the end when Ozai decides to wipe everything out. But also in Who, it's like the doctor, in Dalek, when it's the Daleks killed all the Time Lords and the Doctor has one Dalek left and he wants to kill it, but he ultimately doesn't. And then later when is it spoilers to talk about his clone?
Yes.
Well, I already did, so you know what? There it is.
Technically he had two clones.
When 10-2 opened up a can of some stuff on the Daleks in the season 4 finale and basically committed genocide again and how it just cycles that way.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't really him committing genocide, though.
No, it was, kind of.
Well, they referred to it as genocide. Obviously, the Daleks always return, but...
that was just cheap.
The Firebenders return is the next tagline. I assume that's the Tumblr thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. You have said that. Okay, next one.
Okay, well, let me add on to the travel show bit. I don't know if you did it on the last podcast, but even though they are travel shows with like a different setting, they do have an overarching, I don't know how to say it. They have a main plot. Like the silence for Doctor Who, or Sozin's Comet and the Equalist for Avatar: The Last Airbender and Legend of Korra, respectively.
Call the silence. That's more of like a season arc.
They more have season to season arcs.
It's season to season. That's become the new like major plot because it's lasted more than one season, which is unprecedented.
Moffat, Doctor Who definitely is more. Let's have a general plot that goes season to season. Davies Doctor Who is more like, this is a theme for the season, and here's some individual stories, and then we'll bring the Daleks out at the end.
Which sort of comes back to, like, Avatar Last Airbender season 1, which is, it's more separate than the other two. The other two, like, Book 2 Earth at the end of it was, like, it was continued directly by season 3, but with Siege of the North, it was really separate. Now that I think about it,
this is in all trilogies. Really, you see this. The first part of the trilogy is kind of separate, and then
the second
two connect. Like, think of Hunger Games and the Rebellion plotline isn't even really existent in the first one, and then it gets a lot of talk in the second two, etc.
Or you know, like Star Wars, where the Emperor doesn't actually exist.
Movie. It's basically all trilogies, because like to a certain extent, all trilogies are. Oh, I'm going to make the standalone one, and then if it's good, I'll make it into a trilogy. Like,
yeah, that's pretty much. That's pretty much one of my writing professors actually explained that. Where in book publishing, at least the way you approach doing a series is you sort of show them your one book and you say it's a standalone book with series potential. So a lot of cases when they're written, they write the first one and then it basically from there they sort of like, if it's good enough, if it's popular enough, then it becomes a trilogy or however many others come afterwards. So
yeah
it kind of makes sense like that with Avatar as well, just because it was kind of like, well, we don't know if it's going to go on to more than one season, so let's try to keep the first season as self-contained as possible, but give some hints of there's more stuff to come.
Like, I wouldn't describe Avatar as a trilogy, and I think it's not, like, Hunger Games, I think, is more one thing and then two things than Avatar. I think Avatar does run its plotline, and Mike and Brian did plan for 3 books, but at the same time, they didn't get they got a 13-episode order, and then they got 7 more episodes to make it a 20 episodes, and then they got the extension. So, like, they didn't really know. And you can kind of tell, like, in that episodes 1 to 13 are separate from the rest, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I don't know if the silence are an overarching plot, but I see what you mean. Okay, let's go to, let's skip the travel one, because we did that, and go to the next one.
Well, the shows have the ability to continually reboot, which is quite interesting, because with Doctor Who, every time he regenerates, it's you can just have a completely new cast, maybe even a new TARDIS. We can just keep going. And the same thing goes for Avatar. Like, we don't really think about it, but I mean, it might suck, but we could just keep getting new avatars, new people, new ages, and you know, it doesn't have to.
The difference is the Doctor kind of he doesn't maintain his personality, but he keeps his memories and what he's learned and the lessons he's learned. But the Avatar has to relearn that every generation. They have to go through childhood again. And then if they get knowledge from past avatars, it's from the one immediately before them.
There's a lot more of a disconnect between having a new avatar in a new show than having a new doctor, because with the avatar, they're sort of the same person, but a lot less than the doctor being the same person, because physically, more or less, the doctor's the same person. He's just got a new personality and looks, but he's not a spirit passing from one body to the next.
I think of it as the same man, different doctor. Or
pretty
different
much,
doctor,
yeah,
same man.
It's a different actor. It's the same person at the core of it.
Yeah, so since he's technically more the same main character, you can have a new main character while still being the same main character. So there's a stronger thread, I think, carrying you from one season or one show of Doctor Who to the next, while with Avatar, it's less, oh, hey, we get to see the Avatar again. It's more, oh, hey, more Avatar of the Last Airbender. It's more about the show itself, less about the character.
But what you say with Doctor Who having that thread and everything, you can see when Moffat took over at the end of season 4, like, the show completely changed. Like, they don't have to have that thread. They can just completely reboot it.
Yeah, that's one of the things I didn't like as much, because the way it just abandoned everything from season 4.
I am agreeing. Just saying.
Thank you for interrupting the flow.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think we've hit on this a lot, but yeah, I agree with you guys. It's reboot potential, but not in the same ways.
Yeah, I think we kind of touched on this in the last Doctor Who podcast. Yeah,
okay.
Well, it's also the reboot's not for the same reasons either. Like, the rebooting in Doctor Who was for like logistical reasons.
Mm.
First Doctor.
Yeah, and they probably couldn't also get all of the same actors along, you know, contracts expire or they move on to the projects. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do companions, Lem.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lem.
Thank you. Companions can come back just like, companions can come back in Doctor Who just like in Avatar. People from different lifetimes. This is kind of weak, I think, but I see the parallel. Katara and Avatar, The Last Airbender, comes over actually to The Legend of Korra, and Gyatso, even though he doesn't transfer from different shows, he is a friend of Roku, and we see him, you know, different lifetimes coming back. Same thing with Iroh, and it's the same thing with Companions Come Back, because there's that episode with Sarah Jane,
mm-hmm.
when she comes back in Doctor Who.
I mean, Sarah Jane, now, question about that, though, because Sarah Jane, is she from
classic
Doctor Who. She also had her own show called The Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah, I knew that, but I didn't know if she was from classic Doctor Who. Okay, so it's just interesting, though, that her and Rose, though, are the only two characters who kind of, I mean, they're, well, of recent Who, that we've seen who transcend Doctors. Like, they've both been with two different generations of the Doctor, while Martha's just been with 10 and Donna's just with 10.
Actually, Sarah Jane's been with three different doctors since
that's my point. Actually. Jane and Rose are there. My point is, though, it still doesn't matter how many they've been with. Like, Rose and Sarah Jane are the only two who kind of do what you're talking about, where they transcend the different...
I'm actually really peeved about that now.
You deserved it for the muting your mouth thing, though.
Didn't deserve that. No one deserves that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, anti-violence.
Anti-violence. Okay. Aang and the Doctor are basically really strongly anti-violence. They don't like it. The Tenth Doctor probably more so than the others.
We may or may not have done this last one.
When he gets pissed, it's over.
So here's the difference, and I think I may have said this last time, but it's interesting. Aang is kind of anti-violence against all creatures. The Doctor seems to be specifically anti-violence against intelligent life. You notice whenever people attack Earth, he always gets mad. This is a level 5 planet.
I think that's more of like a doctor-to-doctor thing, even.
That's possible, yeah.
Because, like, with the turn left episode, like, we see that the Doctor, if he had been mellowed out by a companion, just eliminates them. Like, brutally.
Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think also, I think also just from the fan perspective, the Doctor's anti-violence is a lot more admired than Aang's anti-violence, because around the time of the season 3 finale for Last Airbender, I kind of got the feeling that there were a few people that were kind of calling Aang out for, like, oh, why are you being such a wuss about this? While with the Doctor, it's like whenever he doesn't kill someone, it's sort of like it's an applauding moment.
Well, it's like with the end where Aang was like, I don't want to kill Ozai and that stuff. It's like how, you know, the Doctor always likes to give whatever he's going up against a choice before he ultimately has to do the deed. And that's what Aang was trying to do with Ozai, is he was trying to talk him out of it before he finally had to engage him. And even at that point, he didn't kill him. He just basically neutralized the situation.
And also, like, the Doctor is obviously really, you know, regretful, especially Ten. Like, he has his famous, like, I'm so sorry thing that he does every time. And, you know, obviously he's not happy about being forced into that situation.
Yeah. And he doesn't like guns. We'll flip if you have a gun.
Let's do...
Just saying. No, I'm quiet, so...
I'm just trying to look at the outline and multitask. Let's do Doctor's anger.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, that parallels well. Because the Doctor's anger, when he gets angry in each incarnation, you know, it goes down. And the same thing with the Avatar state. Like, they both sort of lose control and they do crazy things.
See, I would say it just changes. I wouldn't say it goes down. But, like, Mel, I might spoil something for you. I'm sorry.
Don't do it.
No, yeah. Do it.
I'll refrain from season.
Let me just pay attention to what's happening on my television right now.
Yeah, so, like, with the Pandorica, it's the last Centurion, I don't remember what the episode name is, but the Daleks and the Cybermen are all gathered together, and he's like, he's like, come get, like, you know, you want me? I'm right here. Come get me. And they just leave.
Actually, that considering how that episode ends, you know, don't make fun of my actions.
That was less a victory and more,
more that they had a plan. But anyway, I see what you mean. But that moment wasn't really him in anger. That was him in, come on, trying to intimidate them.
That was
him in his anger would be more like a more recent episode, A Town Called Mercy. Is that what it was? I don't want to spoil anything. But in that episode, like. Goes down.
Yeah, I think that one. There's also the one, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the one in, I think it's season 3, because it was Martha, the one where he forgets who he is, and then the...
Yeah, and then he throws them into
all kinds of stuff. Love that. That was so well done.
And also, when it's a good man goes to war, when Rory says, I have a message from the Doctor, and everything blows up behind him.
He killed people. He killed loads of people. Although they were
Cybermen. They were Cybermen, but...
That doesn't mean they don't have a heart.
Actually, it does.
As witnessed in that one.
Cybermen, like, remove their heart.
The only thing they have a brain.
That was the joke. Yeah, that was the joke. Okay, also, in A Good Man Goes to War, the most notable Fury part... There's all sorts of stuff for 9 and 10. There's too much stuff for 9, so I can't go into it. But for 11... In A Good Man Goes to War, Colonel Runaway, that part, he was just furious with him. He wanted him to be humiliated for the rest of his life. He started freaking out at Madame Kovarian. I don't know if I should say that, but it was really cool. Well, I mean, it was really frightening.
Yeah, the Doctor, like, is really calm, but when the Doctor gets angry, like, fear is terrifying. It honestly is.
Let's get into the official protector thing.
The difference between the Doctor and the Avatar, one of the most major ones, is that whereas the Doctor is just some dude with a time machine traveling through space and time, the Avatar is actually delegated. He's the official protector. He's the one who, I mean, he has the responsibility. He's the main guy. The Doctor has technically, like, no...
The Doctor's not supposed to do it. He's actually put on trial for it.
Yeah, way back when. Any comments or, you know?
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, well, there is a bit of a hint early on that the Doctor kind of at some points, but they seem to have banded that with a Shadow Proclamation, which sort of like hinting at there's a he's representing a higher authority or at least calling on that authority. But the majority of the time, it is pretty much just he protects humans because he really, really likes humans.
I mean, there is that one time in Waters of Mars where he thinks he's got like all the authority in the world and the universe, but for the rest of the time, he's just some really, really quirky dude with spiky hair that does whatever he wants.
Depending on the incarnation.
No, not depending on the incarnation. He always has spiky hair.
Matt Smith does not have
Except
spiky
for
hair.
Nine.
Look at it. You should look at it.
Except for 9 and 11.
Yeah, 9 has the spikiest hair of all.
In general,
the
Doctor takes it upon himself to protect the Earth. The Avatar, it's his responsibility.
Yes.
Not only that, but the Avatar actually has the power to protect the Earth, while the Doctor, except for that one time in Season 1 with 9, where they hint at him having some kind of time-manipulating power, like once and it's never brought up again, he's pretty much just a guy that can survive a little more damage because he's got two hearts.
Excellent segue to the other thing. Can I do this for once, Dylan?
Okay.
Fantastic. Brain versus brawn. The Doctor's greatest thing is his brains, and the Avatar is brawn. There you go. The Avatar is strong. I mean, like, he's got powers and stuff, but the Doctor, except for that...
I mean, he does have to use his smarts, but he has the strength to back it up. The Doctor has a sonic screwdriver to back up his threats. It works surprisingly well.
But... Yeah, the sonic screwdriver is the Doctor's bending, is what we're saying.
unless it's made out of wood. I love that part. I'm not going to spoil it, but that part in the... one good part in the Christmas special with the widow, the wardrobe, and all that. He tries to use it on the aliens.
The funniest part for me was the one in The Next Doctor, where it's like the guy who thinks he's the Doctor, and he's just like, he's got like a screwdriver instead of a sonic screwdriver. He's like, how's that sonic? He's just like, he taps it, it makes a noise. That's sonic, isn't it?
I think that was funny.
That was the funniest moment ever. That's sonic, isn't it? Of course, it just sounds weird and that everyone's silent, so...
Yeah, so... okay. Can I bring up a point that's not on the outline?
Yes, you can.
It goes along with the companions, and I don't think it was mentioned earlier, but this deals more with... I think it was that online game on Nick where they talked about why the Avatar has to be human, and they were like, you know, if you were some god living on a mountain, you would have no reason to protect humanity or the Earth because you wouldn't care. And I kind of compare that to the Doctor's need for a companion in that, someone who tempers him and also, you know, he's among humans. He loves humans, not unlike the Avatar is immersed in humanity and loves humanity.
Yeah, well, like, God, I hate to talk about the Christmas special, but that makes a really good comparison to your point about living alone and how that makes you not really care anymore.
Yeah. Sorry. Yep. This is my fault.
Okay. No. Let's end on the archenemies.
They both have very epic archenemies, I guess. The Daleks the Daleks and the Master for the Doctor. And interestingly enough,
to a lesser extent,
yeah. But interestingly enough, the Avatar, each Avatar has like their own personal enemy. You know, like Kurok is Ko, Aang is Roku is Sozin, Korra is Amon, and Aang is Ozai. They each have their own, you know, arch nemesis. Of course, that might change.
The conflict takes a very different form for each Avatar, too. Like, Ko, you know, Kurok was trying to, you know, get back his wife. Sozin, it was his best friend. And then Amon and Ozai didn't have any...
Aang was trying to get back everyone.
Yeah, Aang was trying to stop the entire world becoming, you know, the Fire Nation. But whereas for the Doctor, a lot of the fight stays the same. It's the Master wants to rule some stuff, or... The Daleks want to kill everybody and think war is awesome. You know, the conflict doesn't change a lot, but it still manages to be interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, the main difference I find that I think with Avatar, they use the arch enemies a little better, mostly because it's overall a shorter show and there's less, they don't overstay their welcome. Like with Doctor Who, the Cybermen and the Daleks are kind of pretty much anytime they show up. When at first, in the first few seasons, it was like, oh, cool. Well, then now it's just like, ugh. Okay, love. They were
it's a lot of repetition of enemies.
Oh, yeah. I'm so tired of them now, honestly. It's just, at least Moffat's giving them a rest, but
he shouldn't have brought them back.
Wait, are you tired of the Daleks?
One thing that I thought was interesting was on Planet of the Daleks, they had some of the old, like, original Who models of the Daleks that were, like, made of cardboard and stuff, sitting, like, just laying around.
If every episode is about Daleks, I'd be so happy. Like,
No. I'm fine with that, I guess, but I'm not fine with killing them every second episode.
really annoying really fast.
It's like, funny, though. Killed
these guys three times already.
They killed them twice. They eliminated them completely twice in one season. Like, that takes skill, and, like, that no one was...
They eliminated them completely, and then they came back in color.
Yeah, my big question is, I mean, we know throughout the first two, but 9 and 10, throughout their runs, there's sort of a clear narrative thread of where the Daleks are and how they get there and where they go and everything. It's sort of connected, but with Matt Smith's seasons, I've just been kind of like, wait, where did they come from? How are they? What?
Matt Smith's episodes seem to rely on online content to establish pre-context, because they've had, like, prequels online for every episode.
Oh, no.
That established context for, so, like, Asylum of the Daleks and stuff. There was... So, I didn't watch the whole thing, but there was, like, context established with those and stuff.
Yeah, it's...
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah. It makes more sense when it's actually part of the show, and then...
So, I think the thing is, it's because it airs on BBC. I think they probably, like, show those little short things, like, before the episode and stuff, but...
I guess, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's wrap things up. Kind of
abruptly, we missed a couple things on the outline.
It's okay. I was skipping things on purpose.
Because
we're at time right now, and we need to do the next one. Okay, I've been your main host, Dylan. Mini hosts have been Lem, Philip, Derek, co-host Mel. I edit, produce podcast. I'm things owned by Jake. What do you guys want to end on?
Procrastinate. Is that just me?
No, that's just you. Practice my voice.
Ouch.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey, just like the last one.
Yeah, we did different Doctor Who things last time.
Yeah. Sonic screwdrivers?
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good one. I do a good one. Right.
I didn't mean Sonic screwdriver voices. Then.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, everyone, let's do our best Sonic screwdriver impression. Yeah.
Aha. It's the one on that, Dylan.
Let's do it.
No, we're not doing that. Okay.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm not doing it. Oh my goodness.
You have one in your room?
No, this is. I can't do it anymore because I'm laughing.
Okay, let's end on. I don't know. Say something, Dr. Huey.
I have a Matt Smith action figure on my shelf. I can see him right now.
Awesome.
He's wearing a Stetson. It looks amazing.
That's cool. Stetsons are cool.
Three. Something. Exterminate.
Yeah, let's love Stetsons are cool.
No, we're ending on...
Oh my god, he already counted.
I already counted. No, we're ending.
Can we just be done? This is getting horrible.
1, 2, 3, go. Wibbly wobbly time wimey. Go.
Okay, yeah. Time wime bubbles.